day and welcome to Detroit Today. I'm Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson. President Joe Biden's approval rating is low. It is terribly, maybe even surprisingly low. Biden's approval rating is now at 39%, one of the lowest presidential approval ratings in history since the end of World War II. This all brings us to a simple question. Why? What is driving such discontent with the sitting president who was supposed to bring us all together? It's not as if Biden hasn't gotten things done. He passed COVID support with the American Rescue Plan. He facilitated a $1 trillion infrastructure deal. The CHIP Act recently passed, which will invest in our domestic supply chains. And now, maybe most importantly, he passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which has historic investments in clean energy, adequate funding for the Internal Revenue Service, and allows Medicare to negotiate the prices of a number of prescription drugs. But no one seems to care that much. Or at least that's what Biden's polling numbers say. And the Democrats in general don't seem much better off heading into the midterms. So where does that leave us? Why are Americans so dissatisfied? What is it they want broadly? To discuss this, we have a guest who's frequently on to answer the question. Shika Dolmia is a visiting fellow with the George Mason University Mercatus Center. And there she started a program to study the rise of right-wing populism, and she identifies as a progressive libertarian. Shika Dolmia, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm happy to have you on, especially with this question, because it is a very confusing time, it would seem. Historically low approval ratings, though people always say they want Congress and the government to get things done. Inflation is on everyone's minds, Shika. Would lowering inflation be the change? Is this just an issue of inflation, or what do people really want to see in this country?
Yes. So I think inflation is definitely something that is driving Biden's approval rating down. But some of what you are seeing is not all that unusual, right? Presidents begin with a high approval rating and then it plummets as they go on to the midterm. And usually their party does not do well in the midterms. I mean, that's been the case except for two times in this century. I think the problem with Biden is that he actually started with a lower approval rating than most presidents. I think only Trump had lower approval ratings than Biden did when he first started.
Yeah.
George W. Bush was 12 percentage points higher than him, even though it was a contested election, as did Bill Clinton. And so given that he started with a lower than normal approval rating, where he is now is not all that surprising given all the headwinds that he is facing. Inflation is one. The war with Russia is another. You know, his entire presidency has taken place during a pandemic. And so that is not surprising. Mm-hmm. What is concerning over here is just that we expect so much from Biden, given that Republicans are in such a bad place. And if the House shifts to Republicans, as most expect that it will, and the Senate may as well, then things get really polarized and sticky for this country.
Yeah, very good points there, especially in the current climate with just a narrow, if not even a majority, a tied Senate, tie-breaking vote with Vice President Harris. It really is a razor's edge to get things done, but people say they want to get things done. And we also are joined right now by Ryan Cooper, who is the managing editor at the American Prospect, a progressive media outlet. Ryan, I want to bring you in on this conversation, because considering the narrow margins that the president has to work with and the fact that people say they want Congress to get things done, with Biden's ratings so low, even though he's gotten things done, why are his ratings so bad?
Well, I think Shika pointed to a lot of the problems, the issues that are dogging him. You know, I think that it's worth contrasting, his early period, what happened when he first took office, was he passed this giant, hugely aggressive, you know, stimulus slash pandemic rescue thing with, you know, straight up cash money checks to almost everyone. And then basically nothing happened for 18 months. You know, the Congress was just dithering, going back and forth. They passed a thing through the House that was, you know, like $3.5 trillion. And then it went to the Senate, and Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema just slowly and agonizingly amputated almost everything out of it, except the climate stuff. There was this huge proposed expansion of the welfare state, you know, basically a child allowance that was in the American Rescue Plan for a year, assuming that it would be, you know, preserved. Nope, Manchin killed that too.
Yeah.
Basically 90% of what was in the Biden agenda, only the climate stuff is left, and it's and a slight adjustment to Obamacare payments. And I think that what Democrats want to see, especially, and this is the big difference between Biden and Trump, is that he has comparatively weak approval ratings among his own base, especially young people, is that they expect, you know, the government to act, to do something to fix, like, the problems besetting us on every side that are just undeniable, from, you know, the pandemic to climate change to the healthcare system being totally dysfunctional and any of a thousand other things.
Yeah.
And just for 18 months, you know, the government wasn't doing anything. And I think that was really frustrating, you know. You know, speaking to myself as like an older millennial type, you know, that it just, it seemed like the government just doesn't work anymore. And the whole American constitutional experiment was just sort of crumbling. And here you have this like increasingly sort of fascist, Trumpified Republican Party poised to seize power again. And yet now we have passed a whole bunch of stuff all at once. And so I would be curious to see. I think that his approval rating among his own base at least will jump considerably now that we've got a climate bill, you know, the thing that Democrats say they care about the most. But yeah, it hasn't been a great experience as a, you know, Democrat being like, okay, Manchin, what do you want? Him saying, well, you tell me what you want. And then, you know, just going around and around. Not fun.
Well, yeah, I understand it's not fun, but one of the things that Biden did run on was the fact that he could make deals, make tough deals with the votes that you need in order to get things done. However, another thing that he promised to run on was bringing us back to a sense of normalcy. And a couple of things that we expect moderates and moderate conservatives to like about President Biden would be his ability to work across the aisle and his ability to bring government back to a sense of normalcy after the Trump years. So this leads me to a question for you, Shika. To the extent that moderates say that's what they want, is Biden popular with moderates? And if not, why isn't he?
Yeah, you know, just to pick up a little bit on Ryan's point here, Biden's approval rating is not all that surprising among Republicans, right? He's got a 12% support among Republicans. The real issue is the Democratic base, right? His approval in the Democratic base is just 75%. And for every previous president, including Trump, in their own party, their support has been, you know, in the high 80s or the 90s. So there is definitely a problem with his own Democratic base, but he also is not getting independents. Independent support is like about 35%, right? And he needs to improve that as well. Now, the problem is what independents may want and what the Democratic base may want are two different things. The base may be happy with the kinds of policies that Ryan has just, you know, mentioned, aggressive spending bills, climate change bills and what have you. It's not clear that independents who tend to be, you know, a little bit more on the Republican side, on the conservative side, are going to be happy with those policies. Look, you know, he passed the Corona relief package last year, which was pretty big. And what was part of what did he do? There were a number of things he did, one of which was he gave everybody about a $1,500 check, as Ryan mentioned. Now, people are happy with that check. They are, you know, they'll put it in their bank. Yeah. But it doesn't fundamentally change the circumstances of their life. It doesn't, you know, it's just $1,500 extra, but, you know, over the long run, are they going to get good jobs? Are they getting good wages? None of that is affected by that. And that's what he's being held accountable for, I think, at least among the independents and the, you know, the moderates. And so he's got a dilemma. Who should he cater to? Should he go to the moderates and try and give them what they want, or should he go to the progressive base, which is, you know, quite a bit more progressive than your average American?
We're speaking with Shika Dalmi of George Mason University, as well as Ryan Cooper, the managing editor at the American Prospect, here on 101.9 WDET and Detroit Today. And Ryan, I want to bring you back into the conversation then, because from what I'm hearing, right, is that Biden is in this pickle right now where he can't be, if he goes further to the left, then the moderates who he courted for his election won't like him. And if he goes further to the right, then the progressives aren't going to like him. So is this just an impossible situation for him to be in order to even get numbers that we would hope or expect would be good looking forward to or looking ahead to the midterms?
I don't think it's impossible. You know, what Biden's been passing, you know, the one irony here is that, you know, he ran as a guy who could do deals with Republicans, and he actually has done a number of bipartisan bills. Like most recently, we had this huge semiconductor bill that was passed on a bipartisan basis. There's the veterans healthcare thing that was passed on a bipartisan basis. All this aid to Ukraine, and nobody cares. It's been at a you know, it just doesn't move the political needle at all. And so I think that, you know, what you're looking at, in addition to the sort of structural problems that Shika was talking about, is the fact that, you know, Biden he's not the most energetic guy, you might say. You know, it's interesting to contrast him with the previous two presidents. You had Obama, you know, one of the most charismatic presidents in American history, excellent orator, you know, was really on top of the then, you know, cutting edge, you know, internet email lists, you know, YouTube, that sort of thing. Trump, master of social media in his own incredibly weird fashion. But, you know, you can't deny that he was present and he moved like the coverage of himself and his agenda in a way that was, you know, just completely weird, but effective. And Biden is just like not really there. And something you hear talking to Democrats a lot, especially younger ones, is that he's just too old. And I think it's not necessarily his age, but just that he seems that he's not really up to the task. And he's not present in the sort of messaging battle in a way that Trump was, in a way that Obama was, especially. And, you know, You could imagine a sort of package of policies that would be basically aimed at the sort of broad middle of society, from kind of independents over to, you know, your sort of progressive-y types, you know, like some moderate healthcare reform, some stuff to get prices down, more or less, you know, what has been passing to some degree. I mean, you could ask for more for sure. But the question is, you know, then how do you sell it? How do you make it clear that this is the, you know, the responsibility of Biden, that we're out there, we are taking charge, energetic leadership and so on. And, you know, I think if he were 20 years younger, it would be a different story, but you just don't really see him in the mix very much. And adds another obstacle to him kind of like seizing the opportunity over the next couple of months.
It is a point that you hear a lot, and that brings us to a comment we have from Alex on Twitter, who says, "We went from charisma to cardboard with Obama to him. His policies can be popular, but Americans are dissatisfied with life overall, and he's an easy punching bag." I think that speaks to your point that you just mentioned with regard to the need for marketing, the need for social media savvy, more energy, maybe more dank memes will help with the Biden administration. I'm not sure, but I do want to get back to you, Shika, on this discussion. I give you an opportunity to piggyback off of what Ryan just said there.
One of the great virtues of Biden, for me at least, was that try as you might, you couldn't turn him into a cult figure, right? Like Trump could turn himself into. I mean, he is old. He's sort of milk toast. And what the country, in my view, really needed was not a transformative president or a cult of the presidency, but just a normal human being, right, who's in the White House. The problem is that we are living in this time of affective polarization, negative polarization, where we hate the other party more than we, in fact, love our own, let alone the country. And so what he is doing in terms of making deals with the other side, getting past the gridlock, is not satisfying to either side, right? I mean, he doesn't get point with Republicans because, they don't care. He's a Democrat. They just hate him no matter what. And he doesn't get points with Democrats because they hate Republicans. So this kind of reaching across the aisle and bipartisanship is not what is going to move the political needle right now. What you needed was actually sort of an Obama-like figure, right, who could cut through the negative polarization and come up with sort of like the soaring rhetoric of uniting the country. There is no red America. There is no blue America. There is a United States of America. Somebody like that might have been able to cut through kind of like this, huge knot of negative polarization. And to that extent, Biden was not the man for the moment. You know, to me, he was like a stopgap measure. The Republicans are in a very, very dark place. And he was the least offensive alternative that pretty much everybody could agree on for the time being, while we tried to get the Republicans to come to a better place, and you had two healthy, sensible political parties duking it out again and responding to the normal rules of politics. That Biden has not been able to do, and I think that's partly what's being reflected in his polling.
Yeah, this is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. Politicians like Barack Obama, pretty generational. I don't think they just grow on trees, but to the extent that you find another one, yes, that would probably solve a lot of your problems. But for you out there listening right now, we want to bring you into the conversation as well. What do you think of the Democrats' efforts to fund we want to talk to you about what you've been thinking about in terms of the Biden administration thus far. Do you like the legislation that President Biden has helped pass? What do you think of his outward stance on the world? And what do you think about what we've been saying? Does he just appear too old and not energetic for you? Are you looking for someone who energizes you more? What would it take for a politician now in the presidency to get above 50% or get approval rating that's not underwater like it is right now? Give us a call. 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Right now, I'm going to go to Anthony, who's driving on I-94. Anthony, welcome on Detroit Today.
Well, thank you so much, Nick. Good morning. Yeah, well, you guys touched on it. Biden is, personally, he's individually showing signs of old age, or just kind of out of touch. And you can't discount or get rid of his history. He passed some pretty momentous legislation in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s that a lot of people don't like. I don't want to name those, but and then just the way things are going in the world right now, we're basically almost at war with two nuclear countries, and that's not good, but we could be in that situation with either of the parties because they both are pretty war tendencies. And then just in terms of the big legislation they've passed, well, they campaigned on $2,000 checks, and then they gave out $1,600 checks, and the rest of that COVID was a bunch of money for vaccines and PPP. Well, I don't know too many people who kept their jobs, even though they had the PPP. And then the CHIPS Act, well, that to me, honestly, that's just a big corporate giveaway. So,
All right. Well, I appreciate your points there, Anthony. Ryan, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. It seems like Anthony is bringing up a lot of dissatisfaction that people have. Biden's prior record in terms of voting, people knew that when they were voting for him for presidency in the first place. So I don't know how much that would factor into their approval ratings. But Alex, I want to give you Ryan, I want to give you an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, the points are well taken. The CHIPS Act, it's bipartisan, and therefore, yeah, basically corporate handouts and, the defense budget. That's what you can get through on a bipartisan basis.
Yeah, right.
But I do think it's worth, putting this into a little bit of context. So you had the American Rescue Plan in March 2021 that was roughly twice the size of the Recovery Act in 2009. And now, we've had a couple more bipartisan bills, and now we have the biggest climate bill in American history by like an order of magnitude.
Right.
Really big and aggressive stuff. And this happened with a 50-50 Senate. As we remember back in 2009, Obama had 59 votes. He had 60 votes for a few weeks before right. they bungled the Massachusetts special election. Remember right. that?
Yes, I remember it. I remember it well. You're bringing up dramatic moments.
It speaks to the lack of salesmanship. They have a pretty decent, stuff to at least to sort of boast about. And it's just, it hasn't been, packaged in a way to like sort of break through the noise, I think, especially given the constraints that they're working under, to be like, look, we have literally zero margin for error in the Senate, and still we're delivering some wins for you. So if you give us another couple of senators, we have, for example, like codification of Roe versus Wade that we could pass. They're not really doing that, but like, the lack of sort of like aggressive propaganda, for lack of a better word, really shows.
We're talking again on Detroit Today, talking about Biden, what he's recently passed and still has poor poll numbers. Are the Democrats going to get creamed in the midterms? We want to hear from you. 313-577-1019. And coming up, we will take your calls on Detroit Today. We've got Vanetta in Detroit and Perry in Detroit. You keep locking in. We're going to get to you guys and continue our conversation here. Maybe we need a marketing expert. Maybe a marketing expert can tell us how we can package this. I'll ask Sheikah and Ryan when we return as Detroit Today continues on 101.9 WDET.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET, and I am Nick Austin, filling in for Stephen Henderson as we are speaking with wonderful guests. We have Ryan Cooper joining us as well as Sheikah Dalmia, but we also want to hear from you talking about the Democrats passing legislation but still facing headwinds in the midterms. We want to hear from you right now, and right now we're going to hear from Vanetta in Detroit. Vanetta, you're on Detroit Today.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, I voted for Biden, and I'll vote for him again. I think we put too much emphasis on poll ratings. I don't think that is really telling of who he is and the work that he's doing. And I just think that's our wrong focus. Just even the amount of attention the media puts on it. I don't necessarily think that's like it's like a popularity contest. To me, it sounds very American, actually, but it's not the substance of what I will base my vote on, not on the poll.
Well, that is very good. Although, Vanetta, did I hear a sense of resignation in your voice when you said, I will be voting for Biden again?
Well, who else will there be in terms of from the Democratic Party? If someone else were going to run, which is not likely, the vice president stepped up, then she would get my vote. However, more than likely it will be President Biden running again. So, I guess I like the direction he's putting the he's directing the country, or at least trying to direct the country in. I don't necessarily think that the Republican candidate will take it in the same direction. So yeah, I guess it is like a resign to go with.
I appreciate your call, Vanetta. Thank you for bringing in your point. Chica, I'll give you an opportunity to respond to the caller.
So, yes, look, there is no doubt about it that Biden is not a good salesman for his accomplishments. And there are quite a few. He got the country out of Afghanistan, which was, you know, it was a quagmire that was deeply unpopular with both sides, right? We'd been in that war for over 20 years. And, you know, after initially, mismanaging it a little bit, he got the country out. Now, that should count for something. He just got a major terrorist, Al-Qaeda terrorist.
Right.
And although I don't like these, I'm a fiscal conservative, so I'm quite dubious about all these big spending bills that he has passed. But, you know, he accomplished something. And he has not been a good salesman for his positions. And what I heard your caller say was she'll vote for Biden because there is no other great alternative out there. He is, again, you know, the least bad alternative. The problem is that when he's running, perhaps in 2024, that matters, perhaps. It doesn't matter in the midterms. In the midterms, people are going to vote to a large extent about, you know, what they feel about the other party and how they are doing, you know, how their bread and butter issues are doing. And on that, Biden and Democrats are just facing tremendous headwinds, because, you know, even I actually think many of the bills that have been passed are going to make inflation worse. They are not going to make a tremendous difference in people's lives. But even if they were going to help help for a little while, the effect may not kick in the next few months when it is most relevant for the fate of the Democrats in Congress. So I am deeply worried about Democrats because even though I don't like a lot of what they are doing, I'm more afraid of the Republicans right now.
The lesser of two evils is a reoccurring theme of the conversation today as we move next to Eileen in Brighton. Eileen, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Hi. I just think it's very sad that the country is so addicted to sensationalism and doesn't know how to look at what our legislative bodies are actually doing that they are disapproving, because he's got more done than several presidents in a row due to the gridlock.
Yeah. Eileen, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that you raise an excellent point, like we've been mentioning with all of the gridlock that is happening and the difficulty of passing things with only 50 senators, one of those being from West Virginia, a very conservative place. You would hope that would count for something, I believe, if you were in the Democratic Party. Ryan, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, part of that, I would say, is the responsibility of, you know, the president and the Democratic Party. You know, you look like, forget about Trump or Obama. Think about Franklin Roosevelt, the best president in American history. He was a master of the most advanced communication technology of his day, namely radio, you know, with his famous fireside chats. And then when television started to be developed in the 40s, he got right onto that. But he was, you know, carefully explaining what he was doing and how it worked in ways that were, you know, assumed general competence of the population. And I think it, you know, people can get it. It's hard to break through the noise, but it's not impossible, I don't think, you know, and it's just something you have to try and you have to, it's maybe more difficult today because there is so much other media out there.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the record is pretty good. You know, I think the Democrats have a decent chance in the midterms with the package they've put together over the last 2 years. And, you know, it's just a question. I keep coming back to it, but a question of basic, you know, political messaging and, you know, talking to people and meeting them where they're at.
Well, I'm going to give you both the opportunity then to suggest what that message should be if you have ideas. But before I do that, Eileen, before I let you go, I want to make sure I didn't cut you off if you had another point.
my point was just that people need to pay attention to what the whole government's doing, not just the president. I don't think you need a rah-rah person like Trump to address people's basic intellect. I mean, I think that people need to be educated and they need to put some effort into it. They say the older people aren't in touch. Well, I have more time now to pay attention to what's going on in the country than I ever have, and I'm almost 70.
Yeah. Very well said. Very well said, Eileen. I really appreciate your points. And of course, the population, the older population, gets out and votes more. So that is one of the reasons why we end up with some of the politicians we do. They're not necessarily on social media as much, but they certainly get out and make their vote heard. And right now, we're going to hear from Kevin in Sterling Heights. Kevin, you are on Detroit Today.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. A very robust conversation we're having. For me, to be honest, these are very, very difficult and tough times to govern a country that is this diversified and divisive politically, most especially considering what he inherited from the previous administration. The division is still there. The man is still struggling to see how he gets things done.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are polling. They should come and poll me. This is one of the best presidents ever, ever in a difficult time like this.
Kevin,
yes, the messaging might not be good enough, but come on, man. This guy is doing stuff. I will vote him again, to be honest. I will vote him again.
Kevin, in Sterling Heights, maybe we need to get your number down and get you to the Biden administration. Maybe you're the marketing that they need out there. Thank you so much for calling. Sheikha, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to Kevin. Is this the messaging point that the Biden administration should be using in order to get those numbers up ahead of the midterms?
Yeah, look, here is what I think. The Republicans are going to run on culture wars. They are going to turn everything into a culture war, and you're seeing that in the Michigan gubernatorial race, right, where you have Tudor Dixon, who is a sort of a red meat kind of conservative, not maybe the most red meat conservative who was out there in the primaries, but certainly quite red meat. And you have Gretchen Whitmer. And I think what the Democrats should not do is get sucked into this culture war game and keep making it about bread and butter economic issues. Now, I will disagree with Democrats on a whole lot of what they are doing. I don't think many of the bills that they have passed are going to be helpful for inflation. I think the bill they have just passed called the Inflation Reduction Act is actually going to do the opposite because of how much money it's going to pump into the economy. But I think they need to keep making it about policy and what needs to be done to make the lives of average Americans better and stay away from the culture wars, and that Republicans, you know, run on that and then burn themselves out. So I would tell Biden and I would tell all the Democrats who are running to just keep hammering away on those economic and bread and butter issues and, you know, let Republicans come look as the extremists that they are right now.
That dovetails very good into our next call as we have Perry in Detroit. Perry, go ahead. You're on Detroit Today.
Yes. And thank you for taking the call. Listen, I'm calling from Detroit. I'm Perry, and I'm African American, and I'm and I used to vote Republican under like Bush 1. But listen, I would stand in line with my clothes soaked in gasoline and run through a burning house to vote for Biden and every other Democrat in office again. I mean,
that's something.
I believe the country is so much smarter than the one-third of the noise that we're hearing. I mean, just look at what this administration has done. As a veteran, they have degraded the military of Russia without losing an American life. They're trying to address the climate change. They're trying to make the country a little bit more representative in our institutions. I mean, just look at the mess that we just came from, where we had deliberate separation of Americans put into corners of tribalism. I mean, just, and I don't want to lose thought. And when you talk about conservative red meat cultural issues. What are we really seeing?
Right.
That's the underlying race. Listen, I just think that Americans, that silent, what they used to call the moral majority, but that silent majority, the ones that's not on Fox News, CNN, or even calling into shows like this, I believe that they are so much smarter than what the media is portraying them out to be. I believe that the average American, because they are looking at bread and butter issues, may be reluctant, but I believe that they will vote Democratic. I mean, look at the crazy coming from the Republican side.
Yeah,
I mean, they have to vote on and make it about cultural issues because they aren't doing anything substantial or concrete about real issues.
Perry, so, I love the call. I love your points. We've only got a little bit longer with our guests, so I want to give them an opportunity to respond. And one thing I will note, Perry, and again, thank you so much for your call. Last numbers I saw, Biden had a base where he had a 62% job approval rating among African-American voters, a very significant block for the Democrats. So I think that lines up with what Perry is saying, but I want to give you, Ryan, an opportunity to respond to the caller.
Yeah, I think that that tends to demonstrate what he said about running through, you know, fire and gasoline.
It's pretty good.
For Democrats. Yeah. There's people feel that the basic structure of the country and the fact that democracy is under threat. And that's where I would differ with Sheikha's recommendation. I do think, you know, definitely trumpet the economic achievements. We're at 3.5% unemployment rate, the lowest in like 50 years. Somehow that never gets a lot of mainstream media coverage compared to inflation. But I think also you really can't leave the culture war stuff, the really red meat stuff on the table entirely, and particularly the issue of abortion. Here's an area where Republicans have really put themselves far out on a limb, public opinion wise, saying that, like, no, our affirmative policy is we're going to force 10-year-old rape victims to bear their assailant's children. And that's what they're going to try to do. And they're going to try to overturn democracy. In my home state of Pennsylvania, the guy running for governor, he was at January 6th, you know, like we're talking about just a, you know, stormtroopers, brown shirts type of people who are going to end democracy and set up a sort of national Jim Crow state. And that, you know, I think is like the mobilizing passions, like the fellow was talking about, like stirring the blood, you know, and getting people riled up to go and vote. I think that you can't ignore that aspect of politics in addition to, you know, all of the significant economic achievements we've been talking about. Yeah.
Sheikha Dalmia, Ryan Cooper, I wish I could talk to you all day, but I can't. I got to let you go right now. But thank you so much for coming on Detroit Today. You got to promise me you both will come back soon, okay?
Sure thing.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Nick.
This is 101.9 WDET in Detroit Today. Coming up, we are going to discuss the DCCC, Democrats spending money in Republican primary elections. Is this improper meddling or is it appropriate? We're going to speak with Wendy Schiller, professor and chair of political science at Brown University, next. And you, keep it locked right here.